mitzvah tzedakah, mitzvah tzedakah, they call you dinei tzrachla. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to any Jew who needs it. Shneimar dvarim tetvav vav truchet ki ayam mechayav yon mechar achecha beachajerecha beartzecha Hashem Hashem lekach noten lecha. Lo tamet levavcha velo tikpot et yadcha meachicha evyon. When there will be a poor person from one of your brethren in one of your gates, which Hashem gives you, don't harden your heart, don't harden your hand from your brother. For you should open up your hands to give what he needs. Right? כשנדייק פסוקים נמצא שמי שיכול לתת צדקה ואין לנותם בנוסף לכך שהוא מבטל מצוות עשה עובר גם על איסר כפי שנאמר לא תמת לבבך. So if you can give tzedakah and you don't give tzedakah, not only have you not done a mitzvah, but you've sinned. You've done a lo ta'aseh, because it says don't harden your heart, and you have indeed hardened your heart. Mitzvah tzedakah is one of the mitzvot hagdolot shebetorah. And we're going to say, shkula tzedakah neged kol mitzvot. The Gemara in Bava Batra says that tzedakah is corresponding to all the mitzvot. V'anoten tzedakah mitabek mitav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you give tzedakah, you're attaching yourself to Hashem. Shemechayem v'arneset boruav. And that's essentially the first mitzvah that God does. He gives life to us. Kevan shatzedakah mosif v'chayim l'olam. Lachenu matzalem min amita. Shneimar tzedakah tatzeh mimaven. Now we understand the concept that tzedakah saves you from death, because you're basically giving life to someone else. So in the schus of that, you yourself are saved. Mitzvah. I'll just also add that maybe he'll mention this, but if you look in the psukim, it's very rare the way that the Torah describes tzedakah. It shows you need to open up your heart. It says, don't harden your heart. So from the beginning, it's showing that it's not just a mitzvah about technically giving someone money. It's a mitzvah of opening your heart to another person. Mitzvah tzedakah ein reshis ela chova shatorah metila kol yachid v'al chevra v'kol oteah. It's an obligation to give tzedakah, both on the individual and on the tzibur. Help those who can't help themselves. Wow, the Gemara Bava Batra says it's like you did idolatry, in a way, because it's like you don't believe in God, that God's giving you the money, and you think you're really God. You're like, yeah, there's problems in the world, no big deal, it's not my problem. That's another explanation, saying they don't believe in the way of fixing the world. If you save one life, it's like you save the whole world. We're bringing the redemption closer. Tzedakah brings the geula closer. Quotes across from Yishayahu. It says it, bringing the redemption closer through tzedakah. Wow. So the inyan is to help a person to get back on his feet, so he won't have to ask tzedakah anymore. As the Pasuk says, strengthen him. So the highest level of tzedakah is to get someone a job, or get a person, you know, teach a man to fish. Don't just give him some fish.
Even though it doesn't cost you any money.
Even if it doesn't cost you money, but that's even a higher level of it than anything else. That's giving him respect. Kasher. Second. This is the kotel. Kasher ein efshrut lazor lani lamod al raglav bekochas atzmo.
Okay,
וככל שנותנים לו את הצדקה בדרך שמי ויש את אותו יותר, כך היא מדרגה נמוכה יותר. So right, Shulchan Aruch, according to Rambam, famous Rambam, that if you can't get him back on his feet, then the mitzvah to give him tzedakah, and the more embarrassing, the less you fulfill the mitzvah. So the more you're able to do it in a way that doesn't embarrass him, the better. There's even an opinion that the whole reason we give him Shlach Manos on Purim is so that the poor people won't be embarrassed. So we're also giving each other food, so we can also give the poor people food. And there's a lot of, you know, there's many stories about tzaddikim that they were giving, you know, the gabbai to get, and the gabbai was kilo going to give to other people, but really everyone, they knew that they were just giving to the gabbai himself was poor. But you want to do it in such a way that doesn't embarrass people. And many, many people, we forget about that the real mitzvah is to get people out on their feet again. There are good organizations like Leman Achai and stuff like that who actually do try to get people jobs. That's actually one of my dreams in life, to open up a soup kitchen where they actually, you know, not only does it provide like jobs for the people running the kitchen and stuff like that, but also like to help train, you know, you come into a soup kitchen, okay, can we help you get a job? And kind of like, you know, right next to the soup kitchen is someone to work with you to train you, to get you on your feet. Well, maybe one day, maybe this lifetime, maybe next lifetime. But unfortunately, the truth is, in the world we live in, a lot of the people who are going to these types of Uni Tzedakah are not there 100%.
They don't necessarily want a job.
They don't necessarily want a job.
Especially like most of the people here, like the Potter, collecting money, they don't seem to want anything except more money.
If you're at this point that you're begging, then unfortunately, something, some screws is loose often, and you don't really want to work. Sit here. It's fine. But yeah, sometimes people just need support. Sometimes
people are desperate. They have no other option.
Every situation is unique. So, you know. Kedei lekayemet bitzvot tzedakah, ayu bnei kelot miminam gabayim al kubat tzedakim. Vayta lehem samchut lagabot tzedakah mikol anshei kila shemzugalim latet. Umitoch hakuba, ayu mefarnesim et aniya ha'ir notnim lehem et tzorcheihem habsisim. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes that we have an obligation to have a gabay, whose job is to collect money, and his job is to look into every matter and get to know the poor people and give them what they need based on their familial needs and see if there's any way of getting them a job. It's supposed to be someone in each community whose job is to look after the, you know, understand the needs of the poor people.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we live in a world which is far less organized.
Yeah.
In that sense, so
it's because we don't live in a village.
Yeah, we don't live in a village with one guy who knows everybody. It's a much more complex world. So I can't say that we really have that nowadays. Sometimes you do know have people who, friends, there are communities, you know, there are like smaller yeshuvim and whatnot. But a place like Yerushalayim, it's hard to say we really have that anymore. You know.
Who's the fear
from
the whole town?
So. There's a chiyav in every individual to give tzedakah to the right places, but
the
chiyav, I guess, the kehila.
Yeah.
I need shul, so to speak, I guess, you could say. I think shuls really dominate the communal organizational life of people nowadays. But the problem is, you know, if you live, especially like in the old city, I dominate the kotel. So there's no gabbai of the kotel. So there it's
If anything, there's the organization, the band.
Right. So the opposite. So, and that's not just here. There's, you know, a lot of people who live in a shul, community-less world. So I don't know what to say. It's more complex.
Yeah.
But there are places that have rabbis and communities and shuls. And I'd say each shul should have one of the jobs of the rabbis or the gabbai is to be aware of the needs of the poor people in the community. And you know, understand the situation. Okay, so note, we haven't even talked about Meiser.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Meiser yet, we'll get there. So far, we're just talking about Tzedakah. Okay? Soon we'll get to Meiser. Okay? Ad kama tzarech lazos. So the next question is fine, we have to give, but how much do we have to give? Miu anit shetzarech latet tzedakah? Haim adavar talui bargashato yishit shalani o shiishnam klalim kubuim? Who's the beggar? If the beggar says he's a beggar, does that make him a beggar? All right? What if he has huge house, but he goes to the Rova and begs every day.
You ask him for change, he pulls out hundreds of thousands.
Right. Okay. So what defines a beggar? Geklal, ani umi she'ein v'yachalot el lekinot at dvarim shenechushavim b'sisim etza ruba gadol shelo chilusya be'aret sheba ugar. So, ani is defined as someone that cannot afford to buy the basic things that most of the population considers they can buy. Ulam mikrim yochadim yesh gam oni ishi shel adam shayaragil l'chayi ravach v'yared min nechasav. קשה למוד להתרגל למצבו החדש, ומצווה לעזור למשך זמן מסוים לקיים את סגרת חייו הקודמת עד שיתרגל למצבו הכלכלי החדש. Beside for that, there's an exceptional situation of a person who had a very, like, affluent life to help him on, to get back on his feet, to help him adjust. In the beginning, there's a mitzvah to support him. It's not, that doesn't go forever.
Even if he has a house and he has food.
Right, but if he's used to a very affluent lifestyle, so it would be too hard for him to go from.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, it could cause a mental breakdown. So in that situation, we have to help him adjust. But in general, it goes by the basic needs. So I don't know what's a basic need. I'd say rent, food, rent,
yeah.
and shelter and food. Yeah, that's the basics for our generation. And
food, shelter, and Wi-Fi.
It's funny. It's pretty ishkacha pratis. On the way down here, listening to a story, stories to inspire, and it's talking about a girl that had an expectation to have a very big fancy wedding, and then came Corona, and it was impossible. And it's a story about how the future mother-in-law went out of her way to be very, very thoughtful and tried to make it as if it wasn't Corona as much as possible. And the girl was like super duper appreciative. That's what we're talking about essentially. You know, personally, I have no like sensitivity towards those things. It's like my natural inclination might be like, get over it, girl. Like, it's not such a big deal if you don't have your 300-person wedding. Like, who cares? But that's really not the truth. The truth is we need to be sensitive to everyone for where they're at within reason and try our best. Try our best to understand where people are at. So it's pretty like hashgach about this. That was a story that I was reading about.
Yeah.
Right as you read about that. Okay. So, however, with that said, there's two calling. Okay, so it's good to give that girl that, you know, big fancy wedding. But if there are other people who don't even have food, you know, for their family, they come first. The fichach, rak la'achar shesipku et ha'tzrachim abtzisim shel kol ha'aniyim ba'ochel milvush diur v'chinuch ha'yildim v'yesh adayin efshur latet. I showed their tummy, Mr. Man. Abba, Mr. Man. So then the poor person is more important. So once they have food and clothing and a place to live and chinuch, then you worry about the second person. Who doesn't have his fancy needs.
Can I stop recording?
That's fine. And at the same time, we have to kind of educate this person to, you know, chill out and not be such a fancy schmancy guy because it's going to end up being a burden. Seder, that topic doesn't come up so often. We already mentioned that there's an obligation to have gabbais, and each shul should have that. Let's talk about the more relevant topics. How much do you give a beggar who comes to your house, or if you're walking down the street and someone asks you for tzedakah, you're on the train, somebody asks you for tzedakah, how much do you give? The Talmud Bava Basra Testament Aleph, and the Bava Gemara says, "Mevorki ein ra'yu latet la'aniyah machzer matana gdola." On the one hand, there's no way to give him a big gift. ומאידך אין לפטר בלו כלום. On the other hand, you're not supposed to not give him anything. אלא צריך לתת לו מתנה מועטת. Give him a small gift. כלומר, כשיעור שניתן לקנות בו דבר מה לאכול. Enough to buy something to eat. בימינו אפשר להריך את זה בחצי שקל. Maybe a half shekel.
What can you eat
for a half shekel? It's a good question.
Not even one falafel.
I guess what Rav Malamed is suggesting is that... I know, he's saying a little bit contradictory things. Yeah. You can't really buy anything for a half shekel.
If he asks
20 people for a half shekel, then I'll have enough to buy a lunch. Right. So, perhaps that's his svara. But, I don't know, perhaps it depends on the situation. If it's reliant upon you personally versus if, you know, 50 people are walking down to the Kotel.
If it's someone you know and they come up to you and they say, look, I have no money, I really need X,
right, so I think you buy him a falafel.
Yeah.
A full falafel sandwich.
Yeah.
25 shekels. Right? But if it's a beggar on the way and he's going to have, you know that 50 other people are also, so then you give him something kind of to show him you care, but
yeah,
you don't give him too much. Yesh amrim shadai b'shir pruta. Some say even a pruta. Shukishtei agurot, like 2 agurot. Okay, v'chein matbua gazai yiten 10 agurot. 10 agurot.
We don't even have a coin for 2 agurot.
V'lo yoter v'kach, but not more than that. Shoev itagel lachzor b'tachim, since he's normally, you know, knocking the doors. Mi yodeh kami yasof, we don't know how much he's going to gather. V'lai kvar einu nizkak kokach, v'af al piken, u'mamshich lesof tzaka, u'machshil anishim, u'netina tzaka lani shein agur. And maybe he really doesn't need so much tzedakah, and then people are going to be giving to someone who doesn't really deserve it. And the Gemara in Bava Kama says, if you give tzedakah to an ani that's not worthwhile, he doesn't get the mitzvah. Vaf im ze shemachzer abtachim nizkach be'emet tzedakah, lo barur tzedakah lakdimo. And even if he really does need tzedakah, it's not so clear that he gets precedence. First, you're supposed to give the shchenim, the ones who are your neighbors or your family members. Who says they need it more than the people who you actually know, the people you're close to? Right? Vav, im yesh biyado mechtav hamlatza merabanim chashuvim, adayin ein zomer shu nizkach yoter mikupat tzedakah hamkomit. Even if he has a paper which says that he deserves tzedakah, who says that that gives him precedence over, you know, your local charity organizations or your local poor people that you know?
Cancer research or anything.
Therefore, what he suggested, you should have 10% of your money and think about who you actually want to give to. Do you actually know a poor person struggling with a family who's trying to get a job and can't work it through? Whatever your cheshbonos are, that's your 10%. Besides for that, there's an Indian from 10 to 20, the extra 10%, that you give your extra change. Whatever, you'd be a tzaddik and give him a little extra, but that shouldn't be a serious amount of money. Cool? That's what he said. You should give him something, but it also probably depends on, you know, how your life looks. If you just once in a while walk down the street and you happen to see a beggar, it's one thing. If every day you walk down to the Kotel and you're encountering 30 beggars, it's a different thing. You know, so you have to take that into account. But the general clause is give something, but not too much. Cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speaking of who takes precedence, so shlosh ekronot yesham beseder akadima, v'hem otam ekronot shelamana mitzvot halvah. Just by lending, also by tzedakah. Shlosh ekronot remuzim besukim. The pasuk says, ki yevacha evyon me'achad achicha, from your brothers. Bechad she'arecha, in one of your gates, be'artzecha, in your land. Ha'ikaron ha'rishon hu evyon. First of all, it has to be a poor person. Ha'teir yoter evyon, the more poor person. Ha'in yoter nitzrach la'ezra, yesh la'akdim. The person who really needs the help more gets it. Chen yesh la'akdim ha'nitzrach l'mazon, al pi nitzrach l'bush. Somebody who really needs food, his mom is starving, that takes precedence to someone who just needs clothing. Bet ha'nitzrach l'bush, al pi nitzrach l'ritim, and you know, clothing takes precedence to furniture.
Yeah.
And if someone's dying, chas v'shalom, and really needs money for, I don't know, a research or a special doctor,
that takes precedence to anything.
Yeah. By the way, with that, you know, it's important to know, like, in the olden days, it was all about money, but nowadays, a lot of the ways that we save people's lives is through time. By bothering to, you know, send that extra WhatsApp message out or whatever, you know, when someone needs a kidney donation or something like that, but that also could save lives in a way even more than money nowadays often. So, okay. In addition, the one who's closer to your brothers. Your parents come before big brothers. Children come before brothers. Brothers come before cousins. And uncles come before cousins.
Yeah.
The poor of your town come before those of the other town. When there's a conflict, the first comes before the second, and the second before the third. In other words, even if he's your uncle, but your uncle's dying, so he takes precedence over your mom, but your mom just needs a new pair of clothing. So one more halacha, the poor of Eretz Yisrael come before the poor of Chutz Aretz. Shnemar bar tzacha asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach, the land which Hashem gives you.
So that means even if you live in Chutz
Aretz. Ah, so now we have a little bit of a conflict.
Yeah.
We just said that your city comes before the other city, but we also said that Israel comes before Chutz Aretz. So I think since Sharecha comes before Artzecha in the pasuk, that actually no, but I think that's actually a machlokas. But I think no, the pashtus. If you live in Brooklyn, Brooklyn comes first. But if you live in New Jersey, then Eretz Yisrael comes before Brooklyn. You understand?
It's not your shark.
It's not your shark. So then Eretz Yisrael takes precedence. But that, but if it's your land, I would say, it's my guess. Let's see if it gets into that. Also, a good friend is considered on a higher level of precedence than a random person, right? So, for example, I have a good friend who's poor. He also lives in my city, and he's also like mamish, like he's mamish, and daddy really is like needs it to pay the rent. And if you know, if I don't support him, he's not paying the rent. So he takes precedence over, you know, all these great people who come over to me, even shul and this and that. But like, he's my friend. I need to help him first, you know? Chen kirva rayonit, and achshav kirva. Now, another chiddush he said, intellectual closeness is also closeness. Chen adam retzel itrom lishivot, va'uj yagim yishivot shekorovet lishkafat olamo, apne yishivot arhokot meshkamat olamo. In other words, a yeshiva that's closer to your Jewish, to your philosophy in life, takes precedence to a yeshiva that's not. So, you know, sometimes you'll have yeshiva, whatever, that's not your, and you want to give them tzedakah because they knock at your door. Meanwhile, you haven't even paid your tuition for your yeshiva. You never paid them back for all those years when they sponsored you. And they're, you know, and your religious Zionist yeshiva is struggling and you're going to go, or the opposite, or you're, whatever, your Haredi yeshiva is struggling and you're going to give, it doesn't matter. The point is that you should give to the one that you're who you have a personal obligation to before you give to others.
If you have a connection with them.
You have a connection.
Right.
Sometimes it's easier to give to people. You don't have a connection. It feels better. They appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. But it's not the right value, right? The most important value is to give to the people who you're actually connected to. Yeah?
That seems to be the main point here. The more of a connection you have, the more you have to do.
Indeed. That's what he's stressing. Exactly. Fine. So he says, Right, he gets into that. But if you learn a particular yeshiva, then make sure you support that. He said, thank God nowadays that not so many people are actually poor, so poor that they can't eat in Eretz Yisrael. In particular, there's soup kitchens everywhere. There's food all around. You know, there's bakeries who give out free food. There's enough food for almost everyone.
I've heard you can just go like around get enough food for the week.
For sure. There's enough food if a person's creative.
Yeah.
So that is why I think, you know, making sure people can pay their rent and things like that, I would say, takes precedence to anything else, because, you know, there are people who really can't afford. You know, imagine you have four kids and you live, you know, it's like, even no matter where you live, you're going to have a really hard time paying the rent. So that's, you know, we have to really be thoughtful about stuff like that. Obviously, sometimes people live beyond their means and, like, you know, that's kind of their problem. They shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But we have to be thoughtful about that, you know, and stuff. Okay. Now, that's all part one, which is the chiyuv of tzedakah. Now let's move to part two, which is the chiyuv of meiser. And we'll do that as a separate recording.